when he's able to see, when he goes to Madinatul Munawwara, around that area where the raised platform is, around that area, that was where the platform of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. That was the first madrasa in Islam. The poor Sahaba, they would actually stay there, they would live there, and they would learn at the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was their occupation. They had no trade, they had no business, but they made their occupation learning from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is explaining these people's condition. What poverty they had, what little they had, but yet they gave their life so that they may learn deen. They didn't go spend their time in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, but they stationed themselves at the foot of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, I had seen 70 from amongst them. There wasn't any one of them that had an upper garment or a lower garment. In other words, had both, had one full set. Had like how we got an ihram for our understanding purpose. Ihram, you have one upper piece and you had one lower piece. So there wasn't anyone that had two pieces. He had maybe one piece. So he's saying, imma rida, imma izar, either that one piece that a person normally would use for the top. So this person would have that piece, or he would have a bottom piece, but the one piece of cloth he would use just to cover his satr. That's all. Every person, no person had two pieces. Wa imma kisaun, or a person had such a cloth, قَدْ رَبَطُوا فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ فَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ نِصْفَ السَّاقِينَ, that he had a piece of cloth that he would tie around his neck, and it would flow a little bit till halfway through his shins. وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الْكَعْبَيْنَ, sometimes it will flow a little bit lower till the ankles. فَيَجْمَعُهُ بِيَدِهِ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَن تُرَى عُورَتُهُ, but this piece of cloth also, he person whilst he's walking, he would have to gather it, he had to hold it together, fearing that somebody mustn't see his private parts. In other words, that cloth was also was such, wasn't a full piece of cloth that would cover everything. He had to gather it and put it together, hold it together, so that his private parts also don't become exposed. Such little cloth they had, even to cover themselves. Rawahu al-Bukhari. So this is just show us that what poverty they had, but yet they would give themselves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That also shows us that what a heart Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. You have people like that who are so poor, staying by you, living by you, and yet you're feeding them and you're teaching them and you're looking after them. What must have been the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Only doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he was doing it for money and fame and wealth, he would have had the affluent, the influential people staying by him. He would be teaching and working amongst the influential people. But yeah, he was working amongst the poor to show us the ikhlas and the sincerity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today's hadith and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this world is a prison for the believer and it is paradise for the kafir. What is meant by this? Ulama give few explanations. One explanation is that no matter how much of luxury a person has in this world, a Muslim, a believer, how much of luxury he has all the best home, he has the best mode of transport, he has the best wife, he has the best children, whatever a person can think of to be good in this world, the best. Compared to Akhirat, the best of this world will seem like a prison. The moment a man goes into Akhirat, he'll seem like he came out of a bird's cage. So vast, so big, so beautiful. And Alim so beautifully explains, he said, you take the best of this world, the best, anything the best that you can find in this world, and you just put it in one corner of Jannat. Take the best of this world, put it in one corner. All this best, the best of this world will do to Jannat, it will spoil Jannat. That's all it will do. It will spoil Jannat, like a person who's got a beautiful lounge, very beautiful lounge, and he's got a broken coffee table there, the wheels are broken, the thing is falling down. Doesn't it spoil that lounge? So like that, the best of this world will only spoil Jannat. This is what the hadith is saying, Dunya sijnul mu'min, the best luxuries a man has, compared to Akhirat, is like a prison. Or Jannatul Kafir, and the Kafir, he can also have the best in this world. But compared to what punishment he's going to get in Akhirat, this world, sorry, the what difficulties the kafir goes through in this world, when he goes to Akhirat, it will be as though he was living in Jannat. Because the torment and the hardship and difficulties experienced, it was as though this was Jannat in this world. One explanation. Another explanation ulama gave is that a person's actions is restricted in this world. For example, a person eats one plate of biryani. He'll eat one time, and then the second time he'll serving. Third time he's tired now. He can't eat more. And even though he's offered more, his stomach can't take it. So compared to the beauty that he'll have in Akhirat, this is like a prison. Third explanation ulama give, a dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir, that even if a person is given good in this world, even if he is given, but just the mere fact that he's constrained by time, he's constrained by health, he's constrained by limitations, that because of this constraints that he has in this world, compared to Akhirat, this is like a prison. And the last explanation ulama give is that just as a prisoner suffers more than a free man, a prisoner suffering in his hardships and all are all doubled because of the fact that he's in prison. For example, if you've got a sick prisoner and a sick free man, who will suffer more? The sick prisoner is because he got less access to hospitals, to doctors, less access to family. So his suffering is more. So the suffering of the akhirat is much more, therefore it is like prison. And the enjoyment of Jannat is much, much more compared to the enjoyment. So therefore this dunya is like a paradise. Or this dunya for the kafir is paradise. And for a believer it is a prison compared to the, as I mentioned, the vastness of akhirat. So this is some explanation that ulama give as a dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir. The main thing is for us now to strive so that we can reach these beautiful stages where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised. Therefore you find the Muzrawnidin, they always explain that maut for a believer is better than 1,000 Eids. You know, when the moon of Eid last week, Thursday evening, the moon was sighted, everyone was so excited. So excited that now the moon of Eid, take that multiplied by 1,000, is at the time of death for a believer. For more than this explanation, they say 1,000, that enjoyment and happiness Allah Pak gives a person, it's like a person that's completely free and now he's in the vastness of akhirat and enjoying it. He has not even one inch of a thought to come back to dunya. So this is akhirat compared to dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all give us the tawfiq. May Allah give us all the tawfiq of striving towards akhirat. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.